I was asked to call you by Bob Earl. Mm-hmm. I spoke to him out at the newspaper. And he said without hesitation, oh, call Bill Adler. And what I'm interested in talking to you about is kind of what, there's a lot of contention about this dam, obviously. There has been.
I don't think there's very much anymore. Uh-huh. That is to say, the dam's being built, and most of the people, their property's been purchased, and I think for adequate sums, from what I'm told. And I think the major part of the bitterness is over with now.
Uh-huh.
As best I can tell. I think a little bit was stirred up here a week or two ago over the forced removal of one lady and her son from their home, but that's the first thing that has happened.
Was that Barbara Hebner?
Barbara Hebner, yes.
Mm-hmm. What was that all about, anyway? What was your understanding of
that? Well, Dolores and I just got back from Italy, and we were gone for 3 weeks during when that happened, so I wasn't aware of it until we got home and read about it in the Democrat. And from what I read in Bob's paper, they had purchased her property 3 years ago. And after the Corps purchases property, they generally give the owner a period of time in which to vacate. And it usually will amount to several months, maybe a year. It depends, I think, on circumstances and what they need the property for. But anyway, they do have a period of time. And over the three-year period, from what I read in the paper, she had been asked on numerous occasions, you know, to give up the property. It was now the government's. They paid her money, but she didn't leave. And I think at some period shortly before they arrived on the property, they had informed her once again, and I don't know exactly what the substance of the communication was. I'm not sure how much of that was said in the paper. But anyway, they arrived on the property one morning. And we're being interrupted here with the recording story. While they arrived at her home one morning around 11 o'clock, and evidently she, according to the story I've read, she and her son were just up or barely so, still in their bedclothes, and the marshal arrived, and a woman along, and some other gentleman as well. And, you know, as politely as they could, they said, you know, we're here to tell you that you've got to leave the house. And a little scuffle ensued of some nature, and then they chained her, actually put a chain around her, I guess. I don't know whether handcuffs or not, and her son, too. Brought him into the county jail, put him in jail at least for a few hours until they managed to notify somebody who was a friend to come and get him and take responsibility. Barbara's husband died a few years ago. Her husband, Willard Hebner, and his father or maybe his grandfather had bought this property. I thought it had been in the family longer than the story indicated it. Seems to me like sometime after the turn of the century they came under the property, and they had an orchard. They were a commercial orchard, at least at one time. Gosh, and if it's amounted to anything in recent years, I'm not aware of it. Her husband died. Her husband had been active. In fact, he was an employee, I believe, of the Soil Conservation Service, and was a great believer in the small watershed dam approach to solving flooding problems, and he died a few years ago, and I don't recall now what he died of, but Barbara and her son continued to live there, and Barbara was of the opinion the Lord had come to her and had told her that she was to stop the dam and use any means that she could. I don't know whether that had something to do with the a little concern on the part of the officers, you know, as to whether or not she was mentally sound, and if she weren't, what she might do, you know. But anyway, it's apparently
the idea being that if the Lord speaks to you, you're not a balanced person. Or?
Well, I don't think that exactly, but as you know, people who engage in violent acts oftentimes use that as an excuse for having committed assassinations and what have you. It was upon the instructions of God. And I suppose if I were a law officer, I'd be a little concerned about approaching somebody who believes that God has approached them personally and has given them instructions on actions they should take. And so anyway, they had a little scuffle and got a lot of publicity. And it's an unfortunate thing, but maybe it's all over now. I suppose it is.
The property had been purchased 3 years.
3 years ago, and she'd been given many, many, many.
Was there any
told to leave,
particular reason for for having them out now? Is there some immediate plan for that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think that the water is on. I think that's going to be a part of the recreational area. But, you know,
winter's coming.
Sooner or later, there's going to be a confrontation.
Winter coming on, though. And
I think she'd been advised by many different people at different times, you know, why don't you go ahead and accept the inevitable and do it, and she just wouldn't do it. I don't know why they made the move that they did at this time, except I must say that based upon what I know of their record, 3 years is about three times as long as anybody's been permitted to remain on the property after it's been purchased. So, you know, I guess somebody felt it had to come to a head.
Isn't the Corps required or encouraged or whatever to aid people as much as they possibly can in relocating and to soften this blow?
Oh, I think that's the case, and I think by and large that has been their activity here. I'm not privy to what prices have been paid for property, but I've been told by people who are that some of this property has been selling for two and even three times what it might have been realistically valued at. I'm not saying everybody got those kinds of prices, but I think by and large people that I hear of are pretty well pleased with what they got paid. Some did take it to court, did not accept the Corps offer, and maybe got more money by further negotiations and going to court. And I think some of the people in office, Ralph Scheffner, are you familiar with Ralph? I think Ralph is one of the federal commissioners. I'm not sure what the title is, but anyway, one of those appointed by the federal court in Elkins to come into property if property owners weren't satisfied with what the government's offer was. They will sometimes then put them into hands of commissioners, at least that's what they're called in the state, to decide if in fact the offer's been fair and if not.
Referee the thing.
Sort of that, yeah. You know. And I'm not sure whether Barber's property was so involved or not, but some amount of the property was, maybe 20% of the landowners elected that course. That's not exactly answering the question you asked me, I think. Beyond that,
I just wondered why it was so important to move them now, since it doesn't seem like there's any immediate.
Well, the dam is under construction, of course, as you know.
Yeah, except this is out Hers property.
Well, that's right. Although, and I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just standard policy to get the land cleared and to have it all, you know, without any interference that might occur in the future. I have no idea what the circumstances were specifically in her case.
Have you ever been to Cades Cove?
Cades Cove? No, not
in the Smoky Mountains?
No, never heard of it, in fact.
It was a park that I think was started back in the 20s or 30s. And there were a number of families still living on that land who were practicing, whose lives were as they had always been. Mm-hmm. Lived in hewn out houses and spoke an old language and, you know, did things the old way, and they gave these people lifelong leases to stay on there. I don't think they were permitted to improve the property or upgrade the property. They had to leave it as it was, but they were allowed to stay on.
Well, that would not have been the case here. You know, the land that's been purchased for the dam is typical of rural West Virginia land. It's no different from the land in Upshur or Randolph or Braxton County, anywhere else around.
Nothing unique about it.
They employed a company to come in and do an historic preservation study, I suppose you'd call it. And they came up with all kinds of buildings and so forth with some significance, they thought. It's a bunch of nonsense. I'm a student of local history, and my predecessors, much more knowledgeable than I, could never locate any land or any sites in Lewis County to speak of that had historical significance. I think, you know, some of those firms find it because they're employed to find it, if you like, and make something out of little or nothing. Find an old hewn log cabin or barn, let us say, and establish some significance to that, whereas there may be dozens upon dozens upon dozens of them in the state of West Virginia. To me, something that is historically significant is something that people from outside the community would find and understand. and not just the community itself. So I'm always suspicious when somebody tells me something has historical significance if it's not going to bring somebody in here from Louisville, Kentucky to pick a town and to marvel over or to wonder over or to rejoice in. And nobody from Louisville, Kentucky, I don't think, would rejoice in anything in the area of this take. The only thing of historical significance in Lewis County that I can think of is Jackson's Mill. And beyond the fact that Stonewall Jackson lived there as a boy, you don't get much history in that either. Oh, there is other history of Indian warfare in the area, but up in Hackers Creek, not in the area that's involved in the dam take. Mm-hmm. So I'm somewhat cynical about that.
Yeah. What about the community itself? There can't have been. What about the community itself? Being a very rural agricultural community, it's a passing scene here in West Virginia, wouldn't you say?
No. Well, I don't think that. Let's say it's not unique in that respect. If it's a passing scene.
Not unique. But.
Well, in Lewis County, for example, let me see if I can come up with the figures. In 1954, this is hasty recollection here, but I've looked at these statistics in the past. I think 192,000 acres of land in Lewis County were so-called farmland, engaged in some form of agricultural pursuit. By 1974, 20 years later, before any land was taken for the dam, that had been cut to 92,000 acres, so that 100,000 acres roughly had been given up from farming. So to that extent, if you say a former way of life is sort of dwindling away, that would be true, and not only true in Lewis County, but true generally in West Virginia. Farming is, much less land is being farmed now than it was in the past. But those are economic decisions that are being made and have been made. If people can't make money farming any longer, they're going to move into some other pursuit where they can make money. That's what's been happening in Lewis County. And in the case of the reservoir area, there were maybe out of the 20,000 acres that's been acquired, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 acres you could generally call a farm. But most of the rest, let's say that 3/4 of it was simply grown up woodland, brushland, and vacant land, really. And the balance would be in small, what I'll call farmstead or homesteads, where you've got a house and a few acres around it. And the man is teaching school, or he works for the phone company, or works in a glass plant, or he works for the gas company. His main economic...
As in the case of Barbara.
Well, in the case of Barbara, I don't know really how Barbara, what Barbara
has done. The small nursery there on the property.
If in fact, it was still used for that purpose. I'm not aware that it was, although I could be mistaken about that. But her husband was essentially employed by the government in that job, and that's really where he made his living, had to have made his living there, because he couldn't have been making
money. When did he die? Was it 10 years ago?
Oh, it could be. I don't know. It couldn't be that long. Time gets away from you, but I doubt it would not seem to me that Willard's been dead that many years, but it could be. But essentially, most of the people who lived in the area were engaged in something other than agriculture, really, to make their living. There were 3 or 4 exceptions, the Jewels, Jack Linger, and the Seas, I think, were rather prosperous farmers. But even
John Redabaugh?
The Redabaughs, yes. They were another example. I don't know either, though, how much of their income was based on royalty from gas wells on the property, and I rather suspect that a good proportion of it was, too. It was gas. The gas development began in this county about the turn of the century, and there's almost every part of this county does have gas underlying it, and most of those farms did have gas wells, so I rather imagine that a proportion of their income came from that, too. It's pretty tough to make money in agriculture in West Virginia, wherever you are. And 90% of all the agricultural income in this county was beef cattle raising. It wasn't crops, except what they would grow to feed the cattle in the wintertime, hay and maybe some corn. But the actual dollar figures, when you look at what they sold, was beef cattle.
But beyond the dollar figures, of course, there are people's gardens, and there are...
Well, there are gardens, but I've got a garden in my
whole,
backyard.
A whole rural... lifestyle. That's hard. That's hard to put those.
Well, you know, 90% of the people who've been displaced by that project have moved elsewhere in Lewis County, and most of them in a rural area, and they've got gardens there. Some of them may have better land than they had to start with. Maybe have better homes than they had to start with. So their way of life hasn't really been disrupted for the most part. Their locale maybe been obviously disrupted, and to the extent that some of them had old family home places of numerous generations, there was a hardship, a great love for that particular property and memories that can't be replaced obviously by moving someplace else.
How many families were there like that, do you suppose, who would fall into that category?
I don't have any idea, but it could have been 50, I suppose, out of 200, or let's say a 20 to 25% of them may have had that kind of background.
Is 1,800 people an accurate figure of how many have been displaced?
Grossly inaccurate. It's inaccurate by 200%. At one time, a very accurate count was made of 919 people actually living in the area. And the number of families, it seems to me, was in the neighborhood of 250 families, 919 people. Some of those would have been people who lived here all their lives. Some, of course, would have been relative.
Within this 20,000 acre area?
Within the 20,000 acres, that's right. That's all the people that were. I don't know where they ever came up with 1,800 people to start with. It was a guesstimate, I suppose. It was
guesstimate.
This made no sense, really. Let's put it this way. That land makes up 8%, I think, of the land in Lewis County. That's the 20,000 acres. Well, 1,800 people would be 10% of the population. And you know very well that 10% of the population doesn't lie in 8% of the land when the greater part of the population is in the immediate Weston area, in the urban area of Weston and its suburbs. So no, it made no sense logically to think there were 1,800 people out there. But as I say, a very accurate count was made one time. And this was probably a little after land acquisition had begun. And I think they included people who had already moved. But, you know, there's obviously a little bit of a turnover in any community over a period of time. So 900 roughly would have been the right figure. Mm-hmm. That land, 8% of the land in Lewis County, amounted to only, it's an astounding figure, $17,000 in property taxes. I'm talking about ad valorem taxes. I'm not talking about personal property taxes. An almost insignificant sum of money in the budget of the Lewis County school system or county government. A very accurate study was made of that particular thing to determine, you know, what the loss would be. There used to be a great concern about that. Why, taking 8% of the land of Lewis County, you're going to destroy the tax base. Well, it's the salary of one teacher is about what it amounted to. It's insignificant. One utility plant relocation. The Equitable Gas compressor station that was at Brownsville, practically in the where the dam site itself is, just slightly up from it. That's been relocated to a little stream called Copley. In fact, it's not even on Copley; it's on the Copley Road, but the stream is on this side. But anyway, the new investment in that plant, taxes that will be paid from that new plant, something like three times just that one plant alone. All the tax, ad valorem tax, that is attributable to the 20,000 acres taken for the dam. Hmm. And as a matter of fact, I wasn't aware of this. I found out over the last year or so, the federal government does make some payment to Lewis County in lieu of the property taxes lost from that. I don't think it's the whole 17,000. I wasn't even aware they did that, though. But of course, when you think about the fact that 90% of the people relocated elsewhere in Lewis County, some of them in new homes, I think for the most part in better housing than they had before. Probably the new ad valorem tax base exceeds what was lost from the property taken to start with. Huh. I can't say that's absolutely true, but just looking at it and looking at where people have moved and looking at the homes they have built, well, it appeared to me they're probably paying higher taxes now than they paid before. And of course, whatever their personal property taxes were for haven't been lost. They still have automobiles and motorboats and household furniture, whatever there may have been. So I think there's actually something of a net gain to the county from a tax standpoint. As you can tell, my interest in this matter is primarily economic, and not necessarily, well, their humanitarian standpoint of the great damage done in Weston over the years from floods. But
could you tell me a little about that?
Well, I suppose I have often said, I've written it, Weston is possibly the most frequently flooded town in the state of West Virginia. Floods occur in Weston on the average of once a year and have been as long as we know. There are very accurate records since 1929. And since 1929, there's been an average of one flood per year. The records prior to that time aren't that good, although I have researched the old newspapers, and I find myself that probably there were just as many floods prior to 1929 as there have been since then. No reason why there shouldn't have been. Floods have increased in severity, obviously, as property values have risen and newer homes and newer buildings have been put into the floodplain. Weston, by the way, should never have been located where it is, but it was located there. It's in the floodplain of three streams, the better part of Weston is. All the downtown business section floods, all the public schools, the main public schools flood, the major churches in town are subject to flood, the Catholic church and the Catholic school are in the floodplain, the fire department's in the floodplain. Two of our major industries are subject to minor flood damage, and of course they experience disruption of production and all the employees have to go home when floods occur so they can get home before the water gets too high. Several millions of dollars of damage have occurred over the years to properties in Weston from flooding. And the fact that Weston floods so often and so badly is, of course, what generated the demand for flood control in Stonewall Jackson Lake. It all began there. Aspects of recreation, water supply, water quality were secondary, I think, to Westonians. They will be important to us in the future if they manage to generate some economic impact.
Had you considered the alternative for having a smaller dam?
Well, I can't say that we considered it because the big dam was proposed and it was the lifesaver thrown to us. No serious proposal was made by anybody for substituting small watersheds for the large dam until the large dam became a reality. That occurred in 1974 when Senator Randolph introduced legislation in the Congress that was passed that, let me backtrack. Earlier legislation had required ironclad contracts between the state and the federal government for the state's participation in recreational development. The state had to guarantee the money. The state of West Virginia, by its constitutional limitation, cannot do that, as you may know.
Can't go into debt.
Cannot go into debt. And so Senator Randolph introduced legislation that absolved, if that's the word, the Stonewall Jackson Lake from that particular requirement. That occurred in 1974. At the same time that occurred, the people in the Upper West Fork area got busy and formed the Upper West Fork River Watershed Association and began to agitate for substituting small watershed dams for the big dam. Either they didn't look at the reality of small watershed dams from an economic, practical standpoint, or they chose to ignore facts if they had any. But those of us who were anxious to get flood control one way or another, and I assure you we would have been just as happy to have had the problem solved by small watershed dams as anything else, except that the big dam was already moving, and the proposal for small watershed as a substitution came along after a lot of progress had been made, and we didn't want to see any more time lost. Then as we looked into the matter and consulted with the soil conservation people themselves, we learned that small watershed dams were quite impractical from several standpoints. First of all, they don't begin to do the same amount of damage, don't begin to give you the same degree of flood protection. They have practically no recreational value at all. they would give you some additional water quality. But worse than that, the local community would be required to pay 50% of the cost of a small watershed dam system. And there was no, and we're talking millions of dollars, and there's no such kind of money in Lewis County to pay its local share. The big dam's gonna be paid for, let's say 100% by the federal government. Now, I say let's say 100%. There is a requirement that water supply that will be made available to the town of Weston for domestic and commercial industrial use will have to be paid for. And it can be paid for over a 50-year period, a long drawn-out thing, so that we're adding, you know, pennies to the monthly water bill for people to pay for that.
What is that actually going to cost?
I don't remember the figure, and I'm not even sure there is a current figure on that. As a matter of fact, there never has been an agreement reached between the federal government and the city of Weston, so I don't know whether they're going to ignore it and forget about it or what, but there is no agreement to that effect. It was a proposal made at one time. But the dam is being built at the height, the water's going to be there. When the city of Weston, although it's not a city water system, it's a private corporation water system, begins drawing water out of the river, whether the government's going to say you can't have it or not, doubtful to me, but anyway. The whole point of the small watershed dam is that a really comprehensive system would have cost Lewis County people, one way or another, many millions of dollars. I don't think people of Lewis County were about to stand to pay millions of dollars for it when the federal government was willing to do the other project, let's say solely at its own cost. To all intents and purposes, it really amounts to that. And although those facts were stated time and again, the people in the watershed area kept saying the smaller watersheds were a feasible alternative. Beyond that, there is very little money in the Soil Conservation Service's budget for small watershed projects today. We were told that it would be 8 years in the planning alone, 8 years in the planning alone to come up with a plan for small watershed dams. And their budget, I don't think they've even built any small watershed dams in West Virginia in recent years because that particular budget is so very small. The only money they've had for years is planning. Now, this is information told us by the soil conservation people themselves, who would have a vested interest in building small watershed dams. But they told us realistically it was a near hopeless alternative, and so we gave no credence to it, whatever. Got a little slightly sore throat, Skid. Go ahead.
Tell me when you've talked enough. But the recreational aspect of it had a lot of appeal too.
Well, not so much locally, I don't think. As I say, primarily we were concerned about getting flood stopped. Now, it has a greater appeal as time goes on because, as a former businessman here and I'm retired, but certainly the business community is concerned about the economic future of Lewis County and does see a great potential benefit from the recreational development. But personally speaking, I don't have a boat, don't intend to buy a boat. I don't fish. and so I'm not personally interested in that. I think people outside this county probably are much more interested. When the plans that the Department of Natural Resources had for the recreational development began to be made known, a great deal of interest began to be exercised in the project by people outside Lewis County. That is to say, people who are interested in fishing and in boating and in what one can get off of a large impoundment of water. So I think there's more interest in that outside of Lewis County in terms of numbers of people than there is actually in Lewis County.
Are the dollars though generated gonna stay here? The dollars generated from that recreational business? Do you predict that?
You look at Grafton, you look at Sutton Dam, and it doesn't appear that large numbers of dollars are generated by those projects or Summersville. But on the other hand, there are many people who come into those communities every summer and the weekends. You know, their populations are certainly swollen by a few thousand people. And they do buy gasoline, and they do buy some food, and some bring it with them, I suppose, depending on how long they'll be there. There's bound to be some benefit from it. I don't think that it's a major I don't think it will be a major concern. On the other hand, I think that let's say Sutton has not exploited its Frankston County's two lakes, if you like, or Gassaway or Burnsville, have exploited them as much as they might. There have been some new motels built in those communities, which I suppose in part their customers come from, people who come in to enjoy the recreation. But the old saying, if you build a better mousetrap, the world will be the pathway to your door, is not really true. You can build a better mousetrap, but you still got to exploit the fact you have. Now, I think there is a spirit within Lewis County in its business community to begin to exploit the recreational advantages of Stonewall Jackson Lake, and I think we'll see more benefit here than I have noted, at least in other projects of this kind in West Virginia. The Chamber of Commerce is initiating a study to determine what's been done most successfully in projects of this kind in other areas outside of the state of West Virginia, so we can try to incorporate some of those kinds of plans and ideas in the thinking and the planning that goes on here. And I'm very much interested in that, but that's only in the very earliest stages of study. And I do believe that one can do an awful lot more than has been done so far by projects of this kind. I think the figures that are often put out by the Corps of Engineers about the numbers of visitors that come into these projects is exaggerated. But on the other hand, I'm sure we'll benefit if we have the right push on the part of the local community wanting to see it happen.
Has there been a projection about how many new businesses, permanent businesses, will locate
Not
here?
Not that I'm aware of, no. The opponents have said that the area is not conducive to industrial development.